Good morning, everyone. How are you doing this morning? Is it like this or this or this or... All kinds of things going on, clearly. Again this morning, we are going to continue with offering you some instructions on how to work with everything that is going on. And so in this morning sessions, we have been talking about the four satipatthanas, the four ways of establishing mindfulness. In Finnish, we often speak of neljä mindfulnessin perustaa. And in the first couple of days, we were looking into the first satipatthana, which is the body. So we were working with the breath and learning about the different meditation postures, sitting and walking and standing and lying down. And like, we were encouraging you to be mindful throughout the day in all possible bodily activities. And then yesterday morning Marie introduced the second satipatthana, toinen mindfulnessin perusta, which is vedana or feeling tone, or in Finnish it's called aistimuksen sävy. So just to recap a little bit, we have these six different types of sensations. We have bodily sensations, there are sights, sounds, tastes, smells, and mind objects, such as mind states and thoughts and intentions. And whatever we are experiencing, whatever it is, it falls into one of these six categories. And when we experience something, anything, be it sound or smell or bodily sensation, that is very quickly followed by a vedana, feeling tone, which is either pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. So for instance, right now when I'm sitting here, I'm experiencing kind of like mild like nauseous sensation in my stomach, and that feels unpleasant. And I'm seeing the texture and color of the floor, and that also feels unpleasant. And I'm feeling some pressure in the soles of my feet touching the floor, and that feels kind of neutral. So in this way, everything that we experience, all the experiences, sensations are followed by a vedana. And often the mind reacts to this vedana. For instance, there might be a lot of aversion towards something that feels unpleasant, aversion to a pain, aversion to a sound that feels unpleasant, wanting to get rid of that. And also there might be clinging to something that feels pleasant, clinging to the sense of happiness, clinging to the sense of calm. And you might remember that yesterday evening I talked about the Four Noble Truths, where in the Second Noble Truth, the Buddha said that cause of all dukkha is wanting things to be other than they are. So the cause of all dukkha is this sort of reactivity to what we are experiencing. So there is very, very important connection between vedana and dukkha. And if we become aware of vedana, we might get the space to actually let go of that reactivity or prevent that reactivity. So that's why Vedana is so important as a meditation object. There's this big potential to prevent dukkha that way. But this morning, I'm gonna move into the third satipatthana, kolmas mindfulnessin perusta, which is the mind and especially mind states. Emotions are one example of mind states. So we might be feeling angry or sad or joyful or fearful or lonely. All of those are mind states, even though they, many of them have also bodily component. But there are many other mind states as well. Like our mind could feel tense, or it could feel relaxed, it could feel contracted or expanded. It could feel bored or interested. It could feel like there could be greed or there could be generosity. There could be aversion or there could be acceptance. The mind might be scattered or it might be concentrated. So many different possibilities that we might be experiencing. And actually there's like no like there's an infinite number of possible mind states. It's kind of like a color map where you have, I mean, you have all these variations of blue and all these variations of red, and you have all possible variations between blue and red. So basically an infinite number of possible experiences. But it might be helpful sometimes to try to come up with a word to label the mind state, just to get some clarity for the experience. And I would like to invite you to close your eyes just for a moment if they are not closed yet. Bring your attention to the mind and see if you can notice a mind state there. And also see if you can come up with some sort of a word for that mind state that you're noticing. And it's possible that there might be several mind states there at the same time, maybe noticing them all. So you could open your eyes now if you so wish. And in case you didn't notice any mind states, that's okay too. Sometimes the mind might feel quite neutral and there might not be anything much there to notice. And so why is this considered important? Why is this like a third foundation of mindfulness? Mind states are important because they have such a big effect on so many things, like how we perceive the world and others and ourselves, what we think, what kind of memories come to mind, how we act. Like, mind state is kind of her putting on colored sunglasses, like yellow sunglasses or red sunglasses or blue sunglasses, and then seeing the whole world through those sunglasses that transform it to a different color. So, for instance, if I'm feeling happy and look in the mirror, I might feel like I look all right. But if I'm feeling irritated and I look in the mirror, I might feel that I'm really ugly. So I might look exactly the same. Only thing that has changed is the mind state, which then gives rise to a perception of how I look like. And from psychological research, we know that what kind of emotion we are feeling has a strong effect on what kind of memories come up in the mind. So if we are feeling angry, it's really easy for us to remember angry things from the past, more events where we were angry. And even if we try, it is challenging to remember any happy memories if we are angry. So the mind state or emotion really affects how we perceive our life, what we think about our past. And the same for future. If I think about future, my future while feeling depressed, the future might look like really, really gloomy and hopeless. But if I'm feeling joyful and think about my future, then it might seem like exciting. So, like, neither one is the absolute truth of things, but what's important is to notice, like, how big an effect the mind state has and not take our thoughts so seriously anymore. And in the same way, if I'm feeling aversive and I'm looking at someone, like, I might see all, like, negative things about them, like how annoying they are and all these negative sides about them. But if I'm feeling happy and looking at the same person, I might notice all kinds of positive qualities of this person. Some mind states can be very challenging, like intense anger or grief or fear or anxiety or agitation. And they can be so challenging that it can be difficult to remember any of the meditation instructions. What am I supposed to do in this mess? Like, it's just like too strong and too intense to remember anything useful. And this morning I would like to introduce a tool for you for that kind of situations. And this tool is called RAIN. So it's especially helpful with challenging mind states, but it can be used with any kind of experience, even like feeling of happiness or feeling sleepy or feeling pain in the knee. And that word RAIN, sade in Finnish, is an acronym which means that we have four words and we take the first letter of each, and those letters form the word RAIN. So R, the first letter in RAIN, stands for recognize your experience. So just simply noticing what's going on, noticing the mind state that's there. Like, I'm feeling angry right now. A is for allowing the experience to be just as it is. So especially if the experience is unpleasant, the mind might have a tendency to try to get rid of it or somehow escape from it. But with A, with allowing, we try to soften around the experience and let it be there, give it all the space it needs, really let it be there and live. and saying yes to that experience. And remembering that even if it's unpleasant, it's not dangerous. Unpleasantness is in no way dangerous. I stands for investigating the experience with kindness. So this means having a genuinely curious and interested attitude towards the experience, as well as like feeling like really kind and caring and warm. So you might imagine like having a child who's been to school, and when the child comes back home from school, he's crying. And what we might want to do in that situation is really like we care for this child. We want the child to be happy. We want to know what's going on. So we might take the child into our warm embrace, like express our caring and kindness to the child and ask them what's going on. So we could relate in this same way to our experience, like kind, genuine interest, and investigate it, like what's really going on. If it's anger, where do I feel it in the body? Like maybe it's in the chest or the stomach area, and what kind of physical sensations are there that make up anger? Is it like maybe tension or pressure or burning or vibration or anything else? Does it stay the same or does it change? Is anger there in every moment or are there gaps in the anger? Is the anger red or is it black or is it white? Is it icy or is it burning? What's happening to the breathing? What kind of thoughts and memories there are? What kind of stories are formed about ourselves and about others if we are feeling angry? So many things to be investigating, so many things to be curious about. And finally, the N in RAIN stands for non-identification. And this is an important shift in perspective. Like instead of being like really identified with the experience, like I'm angry and like this is I'm an angry person and this is my fault and this sort of thing, we see anger and everything else as just like as clouds in the blue sky. They are just something that arises and passes. We kind of take a step back from our experience so that we see it more clearly and we are not so identified with it anymore. So instead of being in the middle of this cloud of anger and being fully identified with that, we take a step back, we still feel it, but we are less identified with it. It's like if we are looking at nature outdoors, for instance, the weather outdoors, sometimes it's sunny and sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's warm and nice, sometimes it's cold and chilly. In the same way, we have nature inside of us, like sometimes we are angry, sometimes we are joyful, sometimes we are confused, sometimes there's a lot of clarity in the mind. It keeps changing all the time. Can we look at our inner experience as nature? It's just something that's arising and passing on its own, and we don't need to struggle with that. Like we don't struggle with the weather, we don't try to get rid of the rain outside. So we don't need to get rid of the rain inside either. Okay. I would now like to invite you to try this in practice. So I offer you a guided meditation on this, but before that I would like to ask if anybody has any questions about this practice or these four steps. Is there any unclarity about them at this point? Okay, if not, you could find a comfortable sitting position for yourself. Standing up is, of course, also allowed and encouraged. Letting the eyes close. Feeling the body sitting here, touching the mat, touching the chair, touching the floor. Taking a few deep breaths, few relaxing breaths. And feeling the movement of the breath in the body. Feeling the hands touching each other, or maybe cushion or the thighs. Feeling if the lips are touching. Feeling the eyelids touching each other. Feeling all the areas in the body where clothes are touching the skin. How does that feel like? Feeling all the areas in the body where air is touching the skin. And now bring the attention to the mind to see if there's any mind state there to notice, to feel. Trying to recognize what's going on in the mind. And if you can find a mind state or many of them, you could try giving them a name. Doesn't need to be perfect, just something that approximately describes the mind state or the emotion. Then allowing the experience to be just as it is. So letting go of trying to change it, trying to fix it. Letting go of all struggle with it. And instead allowing it, letting it be there. Giving it as much space as it wants. Maybe a whole room full of space. Whatever your experience is right now, letting it be just as it is, with all the space that it needs. Remembering that even if it's unpleasant, unpleasant is in no way dangerous. It's completely possible to let the unpleasant experience to be there, to fully be there. Really softening and relaxing around the experience, whatever it is right now. And it might be helpful sometimes to use words like yes, yes, or even welcome to help you allow. And now investigating the experience with kindness. Maybe seeing your experience as that child who's come back from school crying. Feeling kind and caring towards the experience. Friendliness and warmth towards the experience. Real curiosity and interest in what's going on. So what does the experience feel like in the body? What kind of physical sensations do you notice? And where do you notice them? Does the experience stay the same, or is the experience changing? What is the breathing like? Remembering whatever it is that you're experiencing, it's okay. It's totally okay. Like you would say to this child, it's completely okay, whatever it is. I'm here and I care about you and I'm interested in you. And also investigating the mind, noticing the mind state, noticing the thoughts, noticing any stories or views that might be there, noticing any memories that come to mind. And then letting go of the identification with the experience. Letting go of the sense that I'm angry, or this is my anger, that or I am an angry person, or this anger is my fault. Letting go of all that. Whatever is going on in your experience, seeing it as a cloud in the blue sky. Stepping out of the identification with it, seeing it as part of nature. Nature doing its own thing, in its own way, in its own time. No need to struggle with the nature, no need to identify with the nature, no need to be at war with the nature. Letting everything come and go as it is. Everything, absolutely everything, arises due to causes and conditions. We are not in control. We are not in control of nature. seeing everything arise and pass. Whatever is going on in your experience, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, or a combination of those, recognizing it, allowing it to be as it is, investigating it with kindness, and then non-identification.